B-Pod Studios.
Michael Snelly Show, 3 o'clock hour, brought to us by Corpulence Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays, every bit as good. I did some research on this Trent Thornton guy. He's from Pittsburgh. Hard thrower. Last year in the Pacific Coast League in the Houston organization, 124 innings pitched, 122 strikeouts to 31 walks. And in the Arizona Fall League this summer, 20 strikeouts in 15 innings and only 4 walks. Hard thrower.
And you notice you said no walks, so he has great command.
Looks like he's got good strikeout to walk ratio.
Huh.
But he lost this fastball.
It slipped?
All right. Apparently, my buddy Marty Miller is at the game, and he texted me about 10 minutes ago. He's I'm at the game. That was a loud thud. Apparently, the ball that hit Parper was heard throughout the stadium. Let's see if we can pick this up on the audio.
Get on base. You got to throw this guy some stuff.
Oof. That sounded like bat on ball. That thud.
Yeah, that's right on bone.
Oh, see, man, that's not good. That's not good. You know, a sound like that, it hits solidly like that, it makes a sound like that. I'd be astonished if those x-rays didn't show a crack.
No, I'm not letting you
do
that.
I'd be astonished. Really, from that sound, that's a solid bone hit.
Let's play it one more time.
All right.
Get on base, you gotta throw this guy some
And that was on the ankle? Low ankle?
Yeah. And, Booney's had looked it up. He's hit 10 batters the last 2 seasons.
All right, well, he doesn't have that great control then.
Nah.
He loses every now and then. His walk to strikeout looks pretty good.
But he's hitting guys.
He throws hard. Maybe that reason Houston let him go out of the organization, Toronto picked him up.
Let's hope that everything's okay. I'm not going to let you decide that it's a crack, though.
No, it's not a crack until it's a crack. You're right. But that sound did not sound good.
No.
All right, let's go. Now, I can see why he was upset about it. All right, Jeff in Wilmington. Jeff, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jeff.
Hey, guys. Yeah, fingers crossed.
What's up, Jeff?
Good grief. Let's talk Eastern Conference seedings with the Sixers here. So you've been saying it, and everybody seems to be the national narrative, that they've got to get the third seed. But isn't there a scenario where Boston would pass them, and they'd end up 4-5 against Indiana, which doesn't scare us given that last game.
Yeah, that'd be fine, and they still would miss Boston.
Right,
you'd play Indiana in the first round. That's no big deal.
That'd be no big deal, and then if they're fourth, you know, they would go up against Milwaukee. But why is the assumption? Why are you making the assumption that Milwaukee is a tougher competitor than Toronto when they've struggled so mightily against Toronto for years? And Milwaukee's a new playoff team this year.
You've been watching Milwaukee play this year?
I've watched them. I mean, they're scary, but Toronto, they scare me just as much with Marc Gasol now coming in too.
And Marc Gasol's playing marginal minutes for him. He's not that big of a fan.
Yeah, I think it's a coin toss, but,
I think Milwaukee's a decidedly better team right now.
Yeah, okay, if that's the case, then we really do need to shoot for third seed then.
Yeah, third seed's the perfect scenario. Take Toronto in the second round.
Yep, cool. All right, thanks.
Now, you got it. Let's go John in Northeast. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's
how
up,
you
John?
Doing?
Good, how you doing?
Yeah, I got to say something, Mike. That guy at the grocery store must have gotten in your head after bitching about the Flyers, saying about how they don't want to be.
The league doesn't want them to be in the playoffs.
Yeah. I think he got you. Now you're more optimistic now. I need you to talk me off the ledge, man. I want to be optimistic, but the way their schedule is, and there's 7 points out, they're not 5. Because both of us in Columbus are out right now at their time being with the points. So it's going to be tough for them. I think they're going to lose tonight in Toronto.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, they lose tonight in Toronto, then you'll hear me play taps. If you want to come near my house, I'll be rehearsing taps.
Well, only way they'll play Mickey's if you give them your Prego. That's when you're on your.
You want the Prego? You want the Prego?
Yeah, give the Prego, man.
It's signed by Jason Mertidis.
Yeah, so that's what I think. I mean, I'm glad that I was.
Well, I'm just looking at the rest of the schedule, right? And I understand it would take almost a miracle. But, the Jackets playing 8 games on the road got my attention.
Right.
So I didn't expect the Flyers are going to beat Washington last night, even though I got kind of tricked by the line. So now it's like, okay, we just accumulated the rest of the year where they can get 15 points.
Right. The Columbus is out as well. They're not even in it. They're still 2 points out as well.
Yeah, so who are they chasing?
They're chasing Carolina.
They're chasing Carolina, not the Jackets?
No, they're chasing the Jackets and Carolina.
All right. They're behind both of them.
Yeah, we're 7 points, not five.
Oh, okay. They're seven out of the playoff spot, but five behind the Jackets.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, then that's it. That's prohibitive.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, Mike.
That was my bad. If that's the truth. Is that the truth? I can't tell what these hockey standings
I'm looking
are,
at it now.
They never list the hockey standings according to the playoffs.
Well, behind the Blue Jackets?
Nah, it's the Jackets have the second wild card, and they are
5 points.
5 points behind. Yeah, you had it right.
Come on, man. What are you doing to me?
And they both played 70 games, so 12 left.
All right, there you go. Let's go to Brian in Cream Ridge. Brian, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
What's going on, Brian?
Not much. So I want to talk Jimmy Butler for a second, but with the Bryce Harper thing, I'm surprised that you're not pumped up about him getting amped up after the hit by pitch.
No,
that's what we love.
Listen,
guys getting like out there, like, you don't do this to me. You know?
I've gotten hit by pitches and I was angry, right? I get it because when you get it, the pain makes you angry. But on the other hand, this is a guy that just signed the biggest contract in baseball, right? Now, if I'm the other team, how do I feel about him whining about getting hit with a pitch?
Yeah, I'm totally with you, and it's probably like an unspoken thing, like Bryce Harper.
Yeah, like, come on, Mr. Big Shot. Come on, man. You just signed for $330 million.
I hope he walked out of the dugout in this preseason game and just they put him in and he crushes one just like, yeah, and then he does like, you know, the slow walk to first, you know?
Yeah,
like,
well, that's the problem now. He's going to be out for a couple days probably with this. At least, he's got a bone bruise, right? That's going to cut down on his at-bats. It'll be interesting to see what the Phillies pitchers do to protect their dude. Yeah, that's the way baseball's played.
100%. I'll be waiting for the updates from you, but for Butler, I want to talk Butler real quick, especially with Ty, Ty's input. So my big thing with Butler, this is the first time ever in his career he's being complained about, not the complainer. So there is a little bit of difference. Now, it looks to me like he's just extremely immature, even though he's older and he shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
So my big thing is you had a guy call the other day, said something about, oh, he's not engaging in the team and everything like that. And you disagree with the guy, and the guy had no answer. So, you know, like when a guy takes a foul shot, like Ben Simmons, if he's not there, he goes back, he talks to Brad, he talks game, he figures out what's the plan here, what's going, this guy's doing that. So, Butler never does that stuff. Mm-hmm. He's always disengaged. He's completely... Now, what I love the other day is so Ennis started, right, and Butler was on the bench.
Right.
So Ennis looked very serviceable as even a starter, in my opinion. I'm not talking like top-of-the-line starter.
Right.
But what if you put, in order to help Butler's ego, you put J.J. on the bench because he needs to obviously be on the bench anyway. You say, J.J., we're putting you on the bench. Jimmy's coming off the bench with you. And you basically run that flip squad where you have a two-team squad, basically.
You're going to put – this is a team that averages more than 30 points in the first quarter because they have a great starting five. You want to put J.J. and Butler on the bench?
And here's my –
And who starts for you, Ennis and who?
You got Ennis, Simmons, Scott.
Scott?
Embiid.
Come on, man.
Scott in place of
– Come on.
So this, I understand it is a little bit of a sketchy thought, but the reality is on the second set of team is you don't have enough good shooting.
Yeah, I get it, but you're making it worse to try to make it better. You can't take a strength away. The first quarter is what their strength is. They average 32 points
like
a game
on the floor lately.
Well, what do you think he's gonna like? All of a sudden get a spark because he's coming off the bench? You think he's gonna respond to that?
But don't you think that if he basically, Brett goes to him and goes, look, you want to be the showcase? We're putting you in. You're going to play your 30 minutes. You're going to play with JJ in the second team. You dominate.
You're guilty of machismo. The last thing you want to do is tick him off by doing that.
And
right?
That starting five so far is limited minutes. They have a plus 25 net rating.
Yeah,
they're really good.
The strength of your team is the way the start you get off to. So you can't make that, you can't make the bench more important than that part of it. See, here's the problem with retribution now in a spring training game. You got meaningless players. Like, the starters are out. You know, Toronto didn't bring many starters anyway. So you can throw out minor leaguers to make a point?
Yeah.
You can't do it now.
Sorry, send a message.
Sorry, kid, you're missing a month in AAA because you're catching one and I'm breaking your rib after you broke
any,
our ankle.
It doesn't have any effectiveness when you do it that way.
You're on the kid that takes
so
it.
So they're going to have to bite the bullet today on this.
And wait, what, a whole year?
Well, wait, yes.
They don't play them all year.
Man, sometimes in baseball you got to store it up.
Yeah, see, your game's weird.
You got to be crafty.
Your game's weird.
You got to put it in the back of your head. Like, it's not out of your head. It's always there. And when the moment strikes, boom. Can't do it now. You're going to throw Craig Biggio's kids in the game.
Sorry, Biggio. Sorry, Biggio's kid.
Kevin Biggio.
I don't care if your dad's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, your dad's not a Hall of Famer, and you're not playing for a month. Like, our guy's not playing for a month if it's hurt.
Biggio's kid's a first baseman?
We must be bigger.
Come on, man.
He must be bigger. His dad was little
first
guy.
First base?
He might be a slugger.
Slugger. Hey, you know they have three sons on this team? They got Dante Bichette's kid on this team, too.
No, that guy probably can rake.
They're all prospects. Biggio's kid, Bichette's kid, and there's one other. I forget who the other guy is.
Wait, isn't that Vlad's kid, but he's hurt?
Oh, yeah, Vlad's kid. He's the premier.
Yeah, no, yeah, he's the number one prospect in baseball.
That's right.
And Tatis' son is number two out in San Diego.
Fernando Tatis.
Yeah, his son's the number two prospect
Toy
in
Cannon.
Baseball.
Fernando Tatis.
Yeah.
Freddie in Allentown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Freddie.
Oh, my God.
What's up, Fred? Oh, Fred, your line went dead. Couple open lines, 610-620-975. Now's a good time to get in. Will in Newtown Square, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Will.
Yo, hey, what's going on, Mike?
What's going on, Will?
I'm doing good, buddy. I guess Bryce wasn't wearing a ankle guard. Don't most of these guys wear those things now when they're batting?
Yeah, the ankle guard. Where did he get hit? On the left ankle? They wear it on the right foot, the stride foot, because that's where they foul balls off. He was wearing it?
Yeah, he was wearing it.
He was wearing it. Okay, so it was he got hit on the leg that he had the guard? Okay. All right.
It might be good then if that's the leg he got hit on. No, maybe that's why that's down.
He didn't hit the guard. He hit bone.
Ah, well, that's not good then.
No, it's not.
But anyway, I wanted to talk a little college basketball with the local teams going on right now. We got Villanova. We got St. Joe's.
Thanks for Villanova. 7-point favorite tonight over Xavier. It's a little high, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a little high, too, myself. Who did Xavier, where are they? In the fourth, did they finish fourth behind Villanova?
I don't know. I think they won a game already to play Villanova.
Okay, and then St. Joe's, I think they got a big game versus
Wichita. They were Wichita State, right? No, Temple's Wichita State. Who's St. Joe play? I don't like the Hawks tonight in that game. They had a big win earlier.
Yeah, I know.
They played Davidson. They were a 6-point underdog to Davidson.
That's it. Yeah. I know it was a D team.
Yep.
What's your team's going into the tournament? Who you like the most? I heard you say earlier you didn't UNC, or you do like UNC.
I like UNC a lot in the tournament. I don't like him tonight against Duke.
No?
Nope. Double revenge, and Zion Williamson's playing. Duke's going to be loaded to win this game.
Yeah, it's hard to beat the team three times in one year.
Especially when you beat them twice without the kid.
Right. All right, Mike. I get your feedback on that.
You got it, Will. What, am I misreading this game?
Nah, I just...
What are you shaking your head? Am I misreading the North Carolina Duke game?
No. I just don't root for Duke. That's all. You know, you have the game. You have the right side, it looks like.
All right, so this is two teams in the ACC that you dislike, Duke and Virginia.
Virginia. I just
hate Virginia, dislike Duke.
I actually like Zion, and I like Barrett, and I like Reddish. But the rest of the package, flush it. Hope Carolina wins by 30.
Duke looked pretty good against Syracuse.
They did. Especially Zion.
Zion looked pretty good.
Now, second game back, it might be a step back for him. He might struggle a little bit. Yeah.
This line started at 2.5. It went up to 4. It's now 3.5 Duke.
Nah, it's still a Duke line. Carolina has won 14 of 15, though. So they have? Yep, 14 of their last 15.
They're good. I've been watching them lately. They're really good. I think I'm going to go into Big Ten today and take the Dew. I think the Boilers were a 10-point choice tonight.
Really?
Yes. In fact, I'm going to give you my locks of the week presented by McCaws and Lock Services. 50% off car keys and remotes online at 4carkeys.com. I will sit there and I'll take Duke, given the 3.5, and I'll take Purdue, a 10-point favorite tonight over a lousy Minnesota team that beat Penn State in overtime last night. The dude's going to crush him.
I like him.
All right, let's go to Ian in media. Ian, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ian.
Hey, how you doing, Mikey?
What's up, Ian?
Not much. We're going to talk a little Flyers here. So, actually, I was looking at their the remaining schedule. They can the most points they can win is 24.
Yes, 24 points.
If they win out, yes. Yes, because I think they're going to sort of need it just to get a chance to go on the to get that bye.
Wait, you think they're going to have to win out?
No, well, I think they win out. And let's say take out the Penguins for the third spot in that Metropolitan spot, because right now that way they'll take on the Islanders, which is
let's talk realism here. You think the Flyers can win 12 straight games?
No. Best case scenario.
Okay, yeah, it's a little different. Like football teams win out. I don't know if hockey teams or basketball teams win out like that. You know, there's always a loss in there somewhere.
Yeah, I know. I'm getting like the absolute best case scenario, but because you're sort of right with the officials, but that comes all the way down from Bettman. So I took a look and I got two recommendations for his replacement.
Okay,
Jeremy Roenick and Bobby Clark.
For what, coach?
No.
What?
As the new NHL commissioner.
NHL commissioner?
Huh? Yeah, for a new Flyers-friendly commissioner.
So you do think the league's against the Flyers, and so it's time to get an ex-Flyer in there?
Yeah, why not?
Why not? Well, I think they like Gary Bettman as the commissioner. I don't think they're making a move with the commissioner.
Yeah, well, that CBA is also coming up. Mm-hmm. Is that also through his contract?
Yeah,
That's what I was thinking, like, because I know they got to get re-signed.
I don't think it's likely that Roenick or Clark will be the commissioner of the NHL.
Yeah, I'm just throwing a couple of names out there.
Yeah, it's pretty good names, I guess. See, that would guarantee that the league's not against.
Now, Bobby Clark is probably qualified for that job, technically. He's been in hockey forever, ran organizations. Why would Roenick be qualified exactly to be the commissioner of NHL? Like, nothing against him, but what is his background as far as management to where he would be able to be a commissioner? Jeremy Roenick. I feel like that's a random name.
Yeah, it is. I don't know. It was a random call. What can I tell you? Let's go to Joey in Philly. Joey, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Joey.
Hey, Mike, what's going on, man?
What's up, Joey?
What's up? Yeah, I just want to talk a little Eagles.
Go ahead.
Cool?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so going into the season, I said to someone last week, all right, this is how I feel. This year is the year that I feel like all Eagles fans should hold Carson Wentz accountable, hold him to the fire. Because in my mind, there's no reason why this team shouldn't finish number one in the NFC Conference. New Orleans, Drew Brees is a year older.
Why you have them as the best team in the conference right now?
Absolutely. Why not?
Where do you see this?
Because Drew Brees is a year older. They just lost Ingram. L.A. just proved to us all that Jared Goff isn't as
good. They got a pretty good running back who's left. I mean, Ingram, you know, wasn't their bell cow.
Look at our squad. If Carson Wentz, which rightfully so is supposed to be looked at as the top three quarterbacks in the NFL, why shouldn't we? Give me a good reason why we shouldn't.
Well, I mean, because they're depleted at running back right now still. They don't really have any depth at linebacker or defensive line backups. Their cornerbacks are kind of questionable right now. They don't even know who's going to be starting back there. I mean, I think they're a good team. I don't know that you can put them like.
Well, who would you put ahead of them in the NFC?
Well, you know, the Rams are pretty good, aren't they?
Really?
Oh, the Rams aren't any good. The Bears are still pretty good, right?
not better than us.
The Saints are still pretty good.
Drew Brees is 41.
You think that the Eagles are better than the Rams?
I do.
All right. Well, I don't agree, but they have to really solidify their running back position and a couple other spots before I can buy into what you're saying here.
Really? I'm shocked you say that. I mean,
I can't believe that you're saying they're the best team in the NFC right now. Like, that's stunning to me. I mean, listen, I get it. You're enthusiastic about your Eagles, but come on, man. Where are they showing you they're the best team? What have they done to make them the best team in the NFC as opposed to what they were last year? Because okay, Wentz is the quarterback?
This is the answer to that question. We were pretty much out of the playoff run last year. Now, if Nick Foles could step in and win those few games that he did against solid playoff teams, going into next season with Carson Wentz healthy, why is it out of this world to say we should finish number one in the NFC? We should be better.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I hope they're better. I don't know that right now they would be considered the best team in the NFC. They need to do some work at running back. You have to count on Wentz coming back well. I mean, they're a nice team. They're among the top four or five, I think. But I don't know if you can say they're number one. I don't know if you can say right now they're better than the Saints or the Rams or the Bears.
They weren't better than the Cowboys last season.
Yeah, Cowboys.
Are they definitely better? I think they'll be better, but...
Yeah, we'll have to see. It depends on what they do at their running back to complete that weaponry back there. All right, 610-622-0975. All right, next Thursday, 1 p.m., Phillies Blue Jays, Tyrone. As Marlo Stanfield would say, somebody got the fall.
I would start do a opener in that game, not a starter, because that first pitcher has to hit somebody.
You get Dominguez.
Yep.
98.
Yep, he comes in to start. And then
against Kevin Pillar. Plunk.
Bang. And then whoever's my starter comes in the second inning, and we go from there.
All right. 610-632-0975. Well, it'll be taken care of, Tyrone. That's the good thing about baseball. It might be taken care of now, but it'll be taken care of. Mike Misnelli Show. 975 Fanatic. NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
All right, 3:32, and it's time to get a Twitter poll update brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Thanks to Andrew Salchin is filling in this week for Natalie and doing a bang-up job. Andrew, what do you...
The question, the Sixers' next four games are Kings at home, Bucks away, Hornets away, Celtics at home. How will they finish? 47% say 3-1, 38% say 2-2, 10% say 4-0. 5% say worse than 2-2.
All right. News today is breaking. The Dolphins have traded Ryan Tannehill to the Titans. Backing up Marcus Mariota. Marcus injury prone.
Yeah, he's missed a lot of
games. Miami didn't have a quarterback. Are they going to draft a guy? Would Arizona pass on Kyler Murray and then the Dolphins wind up taking him? Is that what the idea here is?
It could be. They have to draft one. They can't go with what they have.
The Giants are set on the kid from Ohio State, right?
Yeah, if he's there. They have the ammo to move up if they needed to trade up to get him just in case. So, yeah,
All right, so if Arizona thinks better of it and says, all right, we'll go with a player we can actually use and not trade Rosen, then Miami with Kyler Murray probably. I wonder if they had that all figured out because they have nobody now.
No.
Right? They don't have a quarterback now.
Yeah, that's risky.
I mean, the Dolphins aren't drafting until 13th.
That's what I mean.
Oh, really?
They're not going to drop that far.
You don't think Kyler Murray can draft the third? I've seen some drafts where if Arizona doesn't take him, he drops. But I don't know. They usually don't make a deal like this unless you have a pretty good plan for succession here.
That's,
so I don't know what they're thinking.
Unless they like that third quarterback after the top two, the Missouri kid, Locke or whatever, maybe they like him.
Well, we'll see. Anyway, another story. How come the news always out of a strip club when it comes to sports people is always bad? Why is that? Why can't there be good news coming? Like, why can't, like, there be some Red Cross fundraiser from a strip club that involves athletes?
You know, that's a good point. A place that brings people so much joy.
The strip club is never any good for anybody when it comes to the athletic world, right? So the latest scandal is that a Georgia Tech assistant coach is being charged with level one violations. Level one is you're providing extra benefits to an Atlanta strip club visit that sources told ESPN, including current Chicago Bulls rookie Wendell Carter Jr., who is the son of a preacher, I believe, and former Georgia Tech and NBA player Jared Jack. Jared Jack, a former Georgia Tech player who coached in the NBA or played in the NBA for a lot of years, provided Carter and then an unidentified then Georgia Tech player with $300 for a strip club visit.
Come on. Come on.
$300. $300.
And we're going to, that's a violation.
Well, I don't know.
I'm sure that's the rule. Now, meanwhile. Now, everybody heard that. This is a violation. The player, if he was still at the school, would be in trouble over some $300.
Right.
Yet everybody else is allowed to make money. And this guy can't get $300. And I can tell you, as a person who's been to a strip club in my life, and my wife's aware, $300 doesn't go that far.
There's a little.
That's not a lot of money.
Difference. Like Jared Jack says, hey, Wendell, here's $300, and go provide some soup for the people at the soup kitchen. Instead of saying, here's the $300 to go to the strip club. You know what I'm saying? It's a little difference there.
Either way, it would be flagged as a violation. That $300 lasted a kid that age, it lasted him 40 minutes. He was home.
Here's $300. Go to the church and spend the $300 and light some votive candles. You know, a little different. What you going to do with the $300?
I get it, but that...
The club is the culprit here. It's never any good when the strip club's involved. People don't learn.
You got to start looking the other way on some of this. $300 don't go that far.
Not a strip club.
It was 40 minutes. He was there. He was out of there.
Absolutely right.
Come on.
Wendell Carter felt guilty about that. He's really supposed to be a really nice kid, Wendell Carter Jr. He was forced against his will by Jared Jack to go into the strip club.
Corrupted him.
610-632-0975. There are three open lines. First time in history that you get three open lines here. So there you go. Take advantage of it. We go Freddie in Allentown. Freddie, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Freddie.
Mike, hi. How you guys doing, man?
What's up, Fred?
Not much. Hey, I want to talk a little about Villanova. Serious question for you.
Yes.
After what we've witnessed in the last 3 years with obviously the big smooth shot and then losing four players of the NBA last year, if Jay Wright would somehow get something going and they would win it again this year, where does that put him in the greatest coaches of all time listing?
Oh, first of all, they have no chance to win the championship.
Come on now.
With this team. They have none. So it's unrealistic.
Well, come on, Mike.
I'm being serious here. I mean, they're not good enough to win a national championship this year. But if he pulled it off, he might go down in history as the greatest college coach ever. No, he's not going to beat guys like John Wooden and Knight and Krzyzewski and Boeheim and those guys.
Those guys suck.
Well, come on, man.
That's not true.
Their resumes are like a little hardier than Jay. So, I mean, he'll be regarded as one of the great college coaches, no question.
I got that. I'm just a hardened Villanova fan. Hey, real quick, shout out to Allentown Villanova Fan Club, G-Dog.
All right, there you go. You got the Allentown Villanova Fan Club out there. I actually think Villanova can get upset today. 6:30 game. I think Xavier can pull off an upset. I'm not wishing for it because I like Villanova. I like to see them advance. I like to see Temple get in there and do some things. It's another game I miss playing. And the game started. Damn it. Nebraska has won two straight games in the Big Ten tournament with seven players.
Yeah, I'll run out of steam.
Two upsets. And right now they're playing, who are they playing? Wisconsin. Oh, man, how did I miss that game? 610-632-0975. Mike Misnelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, and NBC Sports Philadelphia. And Nick Williams ties the game up against the Blue Jays with an RBI double in the bottom of the ninth. Tyrone, he's hanging in there for a roster spot.
That guy is going to pay dividends all season long.
We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Right, 3:46, Mike Misnelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Phillies game just completed. They win on a walk-off walk. They rallied in the ninth inning from a 2-1 deficit. Nick Williams ties the game with a double. Mitch Walding slaps a single to move Williams to third. Hazley walks. Bases loaded. Naopi walked to score Nick Williams to win the game for the Phillies. Do it for Bryce. Now, that's the only news that we have that is going to be interesting to come out of this game. X-rays probably will be taken on Bryce Harper, who got plunked pretty solidly today. We heard the thud fastball, and he wasn't happy. Trent Thornton is the kid that hit him, and Harper yelled some things at him, and then the catcher got involved. He yelled some stuff at the catcher. So hopefully that's just a bruise. And he'll be off for the next couple days, probably.
Yeah, you can't play him. You got to take it. No matter what, you can't play him.
All right, 610-632-0975. Sixers and Flyers both tonight. You got the NCAA tournament going on. A lot of sports going on. I tried to make a case for the Flyers, trying to actually pull this thing off. But even Martinez, the most optimistic of hockey people that we have around here, says, nah, not going to happen. Even if they win out, that's 24 points, and that's very unlikely to happen. The best that we could come up with was 15 points gained the rest of the year, but they would lose tiebreakers to everybody, so they wouldn't get in anyway. So I don't know. What do you think? They finish the season optimistically. You go into next season optimistically. So all four sports, you go into next season optimistically.
They've been the second best team in hockey after the All-Star break, and they have cap space for the first time in a long time. Mm-hmm. There's and a new GM, new regime. We should be hopeful, and this GM knows what he's doing. Now, I know you're a little bit afraid of him getting caught up in that Flyers thing, mm-hmm. but for now, he's a guy who's won before, knows how to build a winner. Hopefully, he knows how to draft, but he needs to pick up some guys, and they have money to do it for the first time in years. Pre-Hextall was the last time they had cap space.
Now, my eyeball emoji will be on Butler tonight. I'm peeping Jimmy because I need to have Jimmy Butler now down the stretch. So tonight, that's the most important aspect of the game I'm watching tonight, Jimmy Butler. I'll be in a bar sipping some IPAs and focused on Jimmy Butler. One eye on that TV, the other eye on the Flyers, and a third eye on the NCAA tournament.
Yes, a lot of sports.
A lot of stuff going on tonight. All right, let's go Jerome in Elkins Park. Jerome, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jerome.
Afternoon, gentlemen.
What's up, Jerome?
All right. Talking Sixers. Mm-hmm. I can understand, you know, your enthusiasm for checking out Butler, the designated, you know, fourth quarter closer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when a team of the talent they have, I don't even think that should be given a role to just one particular person. My thing is that you have a 6'10" point guard who can come down and just blast away, sometimes unfortunate, and just stops, puts the brakes on, and then drops the ball off to somebody. He's been shooting his foul shots better. I don't want him to be a three-point shooter, but I don't want him to be Rajo Rondo either. I want him to take and turn around and get a low post game.
Well, he's got a low post game. Well, that's not the problem. He doesn't shoot the medium range jump shot is what he doesn't
correct.
Do. And on the post, he's really good.
That's what he needs to initiate.
Yeah, but you're preaching to the wind. Well, you know he's not going to take the shot. This, for the rest of the year, he's not going to suddenly just start shooting baskets.
He took a couple, which I couldn't understand, threes that.
Yeah, you know, but Jerome, you got to live with the fact that he's not going to do that. He's just not going to do it. Now, the question is, can the Sixers win? Because you're not going to reinvent Ben Simmons now. It's just not going to happen where he's going to all of a sudden start taking jump shots.
Well, then it's going to be, what, 4-on-5 against some of the better teams? Let's be for real, Mike. Right now, with them taking and implementing the team they have, with the amount of time they have, there is no time left. And it's not like, oh, la, 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 land. No, you've got teams that even if they haven't won in their previous playoffs, they've had experience.
I get it. But the Sixers have enough talent on the floor. Without Ben Simmons shooting the jump shot, which we all want him to do, where they should get past the second round. And that's what I'm requiring this coach to do.
Well, he should at least take the jump shot if he's making his foul shot.
But he's not going to. Jerome, like we've been through this 1,000 times with people. We know that he needs to shoot the jump shot. He's not going to do it. At least this year, he's not going to do it. It's been 2 straight years now. I don't doubt if he even does it next year. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. He knows what he's got to do. He's asked the question every day. He's probably preached to every day by the coaching staff. He's not going to do it. You can't get it in your head that all of a sudden Ben Simmons is going to wake up one day and go, I'm going to start hitting jump shots. He's not going to do it. It's something that he doesn't believe he does well, and he's not going to embarrass himself. Because he does so many other things well that he doesn't want people to see that flaw in his game. So he's not going to expose that flaw. It's a common human element. When you don't do something well, you avoid it. Right? What don't you do well, Tyrone?
Man,
what's something you avoid? Are you a good bowler?
I'm okay at bowling. You know what I avoid?
Yeah,
I'm bad at baseball. Playing baseball. Yeah, I got no arm. Rag arm. So I avoid throwing around
a
baseball.
So you wouldn't go in a batting cage?
No.
Okay. All right.
You wouldn't do it
because you're bad at it. And you don't want people to see you're bad at it.
Right. It's embarrassing.
That's the Ben Simmons principle. He's not good at it. He's good at everything else. He's got this immense pride of being the best always since he was 10. And so he's not going to show that flaw to people. He'd rather not show it than actually experiment with it and get better at it.
Well, we got some kind of good news real fast.
What's the good news?
Kind of good news.
Mm-hmm.
He says it's a right foot contusion for Harper, okay. Not a break. I'm sure they did an x-ray. So that's good news.
Right foot, a contusion.
Yeah, no.
So it's a bruise.
That you can live with versus the break.
He's probably got stitch marks, right, Andrew? You ever get those stitch mark hits?
Yeah, I've had that multiple times. That spot
stitch
on the ankle.
Stitch marks, Tyrone.
I've been hit there before.
I've been hit in the arm a million times. It's stitch marks.
And you're not even allowed to be angry about it. You're supposed to just take your base. It's so weird to me. You should be furious when you get hit like that. Like, I see, that's why God made me bad at that game, because he knows my mentality doesn't fit baseball.
You glare at the pitcher, but it's like he's not trying to hit you on purpose.
Right, so why can't we just get a my bad system in? I can forgive anybody for anything if they give me the my bad.
A lot of pitchers will do my bad.
You give me the my bad, then okay, you didn't do it on purpose. But if you do it and you stare at me like I'm the one that's wrong, see, now I'm going to have a problem because I got a bat in my hand.
But see, you get fodder to the other team when you're Bryce Harper and you do it. Because you just signed for $330 million and the whole world's jealous of you. And all of a sudden you get in and get plunked and you start bitching about getting hit with a pitch. You know what I'm saying? That's the circumstance there. Because I was the other team. I'd rag his butt to next Sunday.
Really?
For crying about getting hit with a pitch.
You got money, right, so we should be allowed to hit you.
No. It's like, yo, Mr. Superstar. You know, you take whatever. What all of a sudden all of us get hit with a pitch every now and then. Well, you're not allowed to get hit with a pitch because you make $330 million. Andrew,
no, I agree with you, but it's up to the Phillies to get back.
I'd be saying that from the other dugout, yelling at him.
It's up to the Phillies to get back at them. Well, they didn't do it.
That's why baseball is beautiful.
No, they sent out Pat Neshek.
They're going to file it away, and next Thursday play the Blue Jays, and somebody's going down. Somebody got the fall. Mike Mussinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.